Hello there, Gilbert. This is Dean again, calling from the UK. Have you ever wondered, if con is the opposite of pro, what's the opposite of progress? Seriously, though, I do like the history of words. I like the word politics itself, poly from the Greek meaning many, and ticks meaning blood-sucking parasites.
Change has come to America.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
From an open-air bunker somewhere in the heartland of America, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to our humble bunker. We're upstairs in the house, and Sam's sitting to my right, snoring away.
And we're enjoying the beautiful weather here in central Indiana with the windows open, which will result in some,
some background ambient noise.
Yes.
But the great thing is, Sam, even though he is sleeping to my right, he's doing the, despite the fact that there are so many ticks in the nation.
Yes.
Thank you, Dean.
Dean, our friend from South Wales, and we so appreciate his calls and his encouragement. And I'll tell you what is really humbling is knowing that things that we talked about have resulted in Dean's words, many late night conversations with his friends. So,
and that's what we want to do. We want to get you to talking with your friends, and you know, you don't have to agree with everything we say. We don't always agree with everything we say.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's interesting because in going back over the body of work that we've done over the last 4 years or so, sometimes I'll listen to some of the old archive shows just for fun and cringe at some of the things that have come out of my mouth.
What were we thinking at the time? We don't change our mind on what the Lord says, but
no,
every once in a while, our own ideas are, well, anyway, we digress. But I do want to say, because Dean, hey, there is a Swansea. I just
and that's right. And
lines and lines and lines and lines.
We'll have no trouble here.
Well, we won't even explain that. But Dean posted something to Facebook today that got me a story at PID News.
And
it's a house that apparently he's driven by a number of times in his youth. And it is, the story is called The Strange Story of Dr. Death Ray. You've got to read this. It's from BBC News. You really need to read this story because it's about a guy that in the early 20th century is reputed to have invented the cell phone, the death ray, all kinds of other really interesting things. I mean, the death ray supposedly would actually stop cars.
And melt through steel and rock and other sort of things.
Yeah, he also, let's see here, credited with inventing the first mobile phone, a remote control boat, and a working optical projector, which bore a remarkable resemblance to the bat signal.
Well, so Batman's got this fellow to thank. Matthews was his name? Dr. Death Ray?
Harry Grindle Matthews.
Yeah.
And Dean's going to have to tell us how to pronounce the name of that area there in Wales, because
too many consonants.
Claude.
I have Welsh in my background. I am a descendant of Captain Richard Owings, who emigrated from Merioneth Shire back in the day. So I'm a descendant of the one-time chief of the 15th noble tribe of North Wales.
I descend from Old King Cole.
That's true. You do, Cale the Coyle. Coyle the Old, Coyle Hain, in the Welsh dynasty. So, and actually, so do I, because once you get into those Welsh dynasties, you all go back to Coyle Hain.
Derek and I are cousins many times back, but we won't get into that. But anyway, that's one of the many stories that we want to bring to you tonight, along with some many thanks, because we've received a number of not only phone calls that we'll get to later, but also a number of people have, again, helped us out through PayPal. And we just, I got to tell you, I sit and I sometimes just weep because you people are so humbling. You have been just, you've opened up your hearts, you've gotten on your knees, and you have opened up your bank books in some cases. I mean, we've had a number of people, an anonymous donor sent us a gift via PayPal and essentially told us to go out to eat. And trust me, we will. someone else who will play his Skype phone call for you later. Yeah. He's supported us continuously. Another friend, Vaughn, that you've heard us talk about before, he is the guy who helped us not only with backing up our various computers here, but also has helped us to migrate over to a brand new hosting company. We've gotten away from that other Apollo named company. And this one is far more, you know, stable, and the websites load much more quickly. And praise the Lord, our Father in Heaven helped Derek, who I think Derek's a genius. He helped him to move everything over this past week, and there was hardly a hiccup.
It is it's really a blessing. So, Vaughn, thank you very much for providing the means to do it and also making the recommendation of the new hosting company, which also was recommended by WordPress, which is the blogging engine that we use essentially as a content management system. So without getting too nutsy-boltsy, the former company...
Timey-wimey.
Yeah, the former company we were with moved us to a new server, and it was essentially, in their minds, an upgrade. But whatever they did...
They broke it.
They broke it. It you know, WordPress worked fine up until the move. After the move, I reinstalled WordPress on all the sites. Didn't help. We kept getting these internal server errors, hence the name of last week's program, Internal Server Error. And
it was so frustrating for me because I update these sites during the day. And one of the things that I'd finally figured out was a way to do it relatively quickly through a Press This application that comes with WordPress. And it's a really quick way of grabbing a website, grabbing a story, and posting it to a particular site. And that wasn't working.
Right.
After they moved things, it just broke it entirely.
Right. So the new site, the new hosting company, much more WordPress friendly, much faster. And again, thank you, Vaughn, for your generous help, because that really made the move possible. And we thank you for, just your friendship and your support. That means as much to us as any other means of support that you can provide. So, any difficulties that you've experienced in getting to the websites, PIDradio.com, peeringintodarkness.com, or either of our sites should have gone away as of last night, because the move is complete and everything is on the new hosting
company
now. They
should be fixed. So, praise the Lord.
Well, a lot of interesting things going on.
I know. Well, right now it's Rosh Hashanah.
Yes.
And Adolf Hitler.
Sure. I'm sorry?
Adolf Hitler. Is that how it's pronounced?
I don't know. But
it's the end of the big fast.
Okay, right.
E-I-D.
Yes. I thought you said Adolf Hitler. Wait a minute. That surely was not what you said. No, Adolf Hitler. Right. It's the end of the, I believe, the end of the...
I pronounced it that way because I saw online that that's how it was supposed to be pronounced.
Okay, well,
so,
you're probably
so if
right.
If I'm wrong, forgive me, but it's the end of the big Ramadan fast.
That feast begins tomorrow, which is the end of the Ramadan fast.
And it begins at about the same time as Rosh Hashanah, because it depends on the sighting of the crescent moon.
Right, and that would be Sunday, September 20th of 2009. We didn't mention the date up front. We're recording this on Saturday the 19th, but...
we are?
Yes.
Oh, there's that timey-wimey thing again.
That's right. So most of the Gulf states, most of the Muslim world celebrating the Eid al-Fitr, or however it's pronounced.
I don't know.
You probably had it right. My ears just, you know, too much loud rock and roll back in
but
my top 40 disc jockey
sound like,
days.
By the way, I found a great website, and I can't remember who it was on Facebook that posted it, but go to, is it... CatsThatLookLikeHitler.com
for your amusement,
but there's a lot going on right now. We've all seen all week long the acorn stories that have been the videos that have been coming out over and over and over again from big government, Andrew Breitbart, and James Sprague. Boy, I can't remember if that's the name of the gentleman. A couple of newcomers to the journalism business that are working with Breitbart have gone out on their own dime and gone into the Acorn offices. And so that's all over the place. If you've watched Glenn Beck, you're well aware of what's going on with this. And, of course, Acorn is losing funding left and right.
James O'Keefe and Hannah Giles.
James O'Keefe. Sorry about that.
And I think the funniest political commentary and most insightful political commentary about this whole affair came from Jon Stewart of The Daily Show, who... went on for about 5 minutes about this, and you know that Stewart is a liberal, and has often poked fun at Fox News and the reporting there and the slant of Fox News, and in this case he started to talk about the incident, the Acorn expose as, well, you know, surely these Acorn folks weren't fooled or taken in by these people. Well, of course they were. And Stewart eventually said, you got to be bleeping kidding me. I mean, these two people who were extras from the cast of High School Musical 3 went out there
wearing grandma's fur coat,
wearing grandma's chinchilla coat, and managed to con Acorn offices in New York, Baltimore, D.C., and California.
I hear there are more coming.
And there are more coming, we hear. And actual real reporters.
Where have you been?
Totally missed the story. Where have they been? Mm-hmm. And then Stewart said what, again, was a brilliant, just a brilliant line. I'm a fake journalist, and I'm embarrassed. So it will be interesting to see how this all plays out. One thing to remember in all of this, though, is that while I have to confess, finding some enjoyment in watching Acorn squirm and try to wriggle its way out of this, is that this is all part of the media show that's intended to keep conservatives and liberals at each other's throats.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're angry at one another, we're not likely to notice that what we have in the United States, as Dean so aptly pointed out, are a group of blood-sucking insects, two state-approved parties who essentially set the agenda,
mm-hmm.
and who have, when you get right down to it in big picture issues, minuscule differences between the two of them. Barack Obama is not recalling the troops and ending the long war against an idea. He's simply changing the time zone in which our troops are deployed. He's pulling them from Iraq, maybe, moving them to Afghanistan, and arguing that perhaps we need to widen the war to Pakistan. And, oh, by the way, Iran's about to get the bomb, and we need to put a stop to that.
Mm-hmm.
Liberals for years have accused Republicans of being in bed with big money fat cats who basically look at the poor and say, let them eat cake. Who got the bulk of the government largesse in the form of the TARP money and the bailout money under President Obama? It's the Wall Street bankers. It's the guys who created the problem at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. It's the guys running bloated, inefficient corporations controlled by unions in the American auto industry. They're getting the largesse from the American tax dollar, mm-hmm. From the American taxpayer, rather, that the Republican Party was always accused of being the ones to provide. It's like the Bush administration all over again.
It's even more than that, Derek. It's even more than that, because it goes into international affairs beyond the wars that we're in now. Just recently, Obama agreed to pull out the U.S. Defense system that was being set up in Czechoslovakia, Poland, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and the Ukraine.
Right.
And instead, he's moving those assets to so that they can be better used. And that's right. According to Bob Gates, Secretary of Defense Gates, who is saying that the way that they're going to be now is more effective. Well, I think that's just cover, because the word through the UK press is that Putin actually struck a deal with Obama back in March of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that deal included hosting a conference, a meeting with General Electric,
right.
and a number of other big contributors to the Obama administration,
mm-hmm.
that somehow he's going to play energy ball, Putin will, with the major players here in the United States.
Huh.
In other words, those people who fed into the Obama campaign are now going to reap even bigger benefits because Obama has done something that may well not be in the best interest of Europe.
The missile shield was always sold to the American public as a defense against rogue nations like Iran. But curiously, those missiles were placed on the doorstep of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And while I don't trust the designs of the Russian government, I can understand why they'd be a little concerned that American missiles were placed on their doorstep.
We just got upset.
We were upset when they were put into Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And that we've been upset that Hugo Chavez in Venezuela is striking all these arms deals with the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
It's destabilizing the Western Hemisphere. Well, okay, but our missiles in Poland and the Czech Republic aren't. So I don't actually have a problem with pulling the missiles out of Eastern Europe. I honestly don't. I think a good rule of thumb is anything that ticks off the neocons is probably worth a second look and giving consideration as a good idea. But you're right. What is the tit for tat? What is the quid pro quo here? Mm-hmm. Well, General Electric gets a meeting with Putin. In a sense, this is not all that different from the deal struck by the United Kingdom with the government of Libya on behalf of British Petroleum,
mm-hmm.
where the Lockerbie bomber was let go, and suddenly BP is offered concessions in
and
oil
Gordon
fields
Brown
in Libya.
Is taking the fall for that.
He really is. What's interesting, have we made reference before to Carol Marshall's book, The Last Circle, which details a lot of the odd connections that ran through that same part of California that has seen the weird Philip Garrido case, mm-hmm. and the Scott and Lacey Peterson case.
Not that far from the McMartin.
Not that
case.
Far. Right. Just an whole lot of weird stuff going on there. The Barbizon Indian Reservation. Michael Reconosciuto, mm-hmm. and the Promise Software and all of that oddball stuff. Well, oddball is the wrong word. Ominous stuff.
Ominous, absolutely.
That good. Was consolidated through there. Made reference to the Lockerbie bombing and how it was more than likely an attempt by certain elements, rogue elements within the United States, to conceal evidence that was coming back to the U.S. with a couple of DEA agents who were returning from their offices in Crete, I believe, with evidence that the drug trade, the opium trade that was being run out of the Bekaa Valley in Lebanon by Syria, was in fact being done with the tacit cooperation, or knowledge at least, if not cooperation, of the CIA and mm-hmm. other elements within the U.S.
Well, government. And we interviewed a gentleman a couple of years ago who was renting a home from the woman who had essentially been put behind bars almost because she had been sent to for a psych evaluation.
Susan.
I can't remember her last name either. Sorry about that. We'll look it up and.
Yep, it's going to be a minute here while I try to.
Okay, well, you go ahead and look it up, and I'll give it a bit more background I can remember. She was in a position to actually have some inside information about that very transaction and how the CIA may have been involved in that. The real story behind Lockerbie, and essentially, she was called a nutcase.
Right. This was 3 years ago, back in April of 2006. The interview was with J. Fields, and J was just the letter J, not J A Y. But it was Susan Lindauer.
That's right. Thank
Susan
you.
Susan Lindauer, who was essentially locked away and declared
and
mentally
she's
unfit.
Since been released.
Since been released. And in fact, she sent us an email thanking us for the interview with Jay Fields and letting us know that since the interview in 2006, Mr. Fields has passed on.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. But anyway, she was tied into this. And it was, the Lockerbie bombing was not what we were told it was about. That the guys who were
convicted of it. Shock. I am shocked. Imagine that something that's in the news is not what we're told it is. There are so many layers to these stories. Mm-hmm. And as you were saying earlier, that the whole bit about Acorn and all of that really is it's a Punch and Judy show that's supposed to keep us so mesmerized on the show that we don't notice that it's the same guy running both puppets.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy is a human representative of the human faces that are really run by yet another puppeteer, mm-hmm. the spiritual puppeteers behind the whole thing.
Exactly right. And that's where a lot of, and that's the interesting thing, I think, about what we do. Not to pat ourselves on the back, but there are a lot of people who will follow.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just broke my arm trying to pat myself on the back.
ow. It's interesting how many will follow the chain of thought that we just kind of strung together there until you get to the part where it leaps into
to the
spiritual realm.
Yeah.
And there are those who will follow the spiritual aspects, you know, and talk about, you know, the spirit realm and what's going on here. But when you try to bring it into the physical realm, just can't go there. And you know, it's almost as though there's a wall of separation between the physical world and the spiritual world, and that one does not ever interact or intersect with the other.
But it's all the same thing.
It is all the same thing. And sadly, some of the groups that are most active in trying to promote this merger, this intersection, this evolution, if you will, mm-hmm. from the physical realm into the spiritual realm.
Transformation.
Right.
It's a paradigm shift.
Yeah, and I didn't know if you wanted to go there, but it seemed like a good...
It's what we've been reading about all week. You and I have been called for whatever reason this week to... We have done so much reading on the New Age movement, and it all started me down the hill when... down the hill. Up the hill, because it is a bit of a climb, when I decided to reread David Duncan's stuff.
The 2012 scam and the New World Order scam.
I'm so grateful to whatever organization. I can't tell you it was an organization that I can't even pronounce. Bibliotheque Pleiades.
Yeah, something like that.
It looks like it's Greek or something, but it's at a site that has actually archived all of his stuff. And I was able to go through it just as it was when I first read it. I first read his stuff back, 2005 or so, 2004?
Yeah, right. We first interviewed him in the winter of 2005, 2006.
Back in the 1960s, David Duncan, young man of 19, went to California and decided he wanted to become part of the cool generation. Mm-hmm. Cool being even an obsolete word at that time. But he met Alan...
Noonan?
Noonan. Yeah, thank you very much. I think he even called himself Alan Michaels at one time. But a man who set himself up as a guru. There was a lot of drug taking going on. David Duncan was not a Christian at the time. He followed a lot of the teachings of this guy. And this guy, Noonan, set himself up as a gateway for Lucifer. I mean, there was one event that Dave Duncan refers to in his writings where he literally saw Noonan overshadowed by this immense light being who walked over to Duncan and said, "Hi, I'm Lucifer," essentially.
Right.
And there were many events like that. Well, this Noonan seemed to be an insider. Now, whether or not he was part of the MK Ultra or whatever you want to call it, the mind control events that were going on through drugs, LSD, other things that were taking place out in this California area at the time. Whether or not he was part of that, I don't know. But he did seem to have inside information. And one of the things that he stressed was that in the very last days, the part of the plan, capital T, capital P, was to bankrupt the entire United States because there had to be a one-world government and a one-world currency, and the people of the United States simply weren't going to go along with it. And the only way to force us into it was to bankrupt us. Mm-hmm. And that the government of the United States would essentially hand the reins over to the bankers, and that literally would become the owners of the banks. It's the very thing that we've seen happening in the last 6 months. Dave Duncan wrote about and learned about. He learned about it in the 1960s. He wrote about it in the early 2000s.
Yeah. And it was really an honor to talk with Dave and to be a friend with Dave for the time that we've known him. And as we've mentioned before, we've not heard from Dave in a while and suspect that he's gone home to be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, again, the website's been preserved. We encourage you to read it. We've linked to it in show notes many times, and I'll put it in the link again, the link in the show notes again at PIDradio.com so that you can read through it. Because what he wrote has predicted very accurately what we're seeing going on around us. He didn't claim to have any prophetic gift. He was simply reporting what he was told by those who were in the New Age movement at the time that he was active in it, during the height of
the Big Hate Ashbury
era. The Big Hate Ashbury era in San Francisco. That's right, 1967, 68, that period of time. He also, told us about a number of other things that had occurred to him since then that we won't go into, but led us to believe that, as he did, he believed that for whatever reason, he and his family had been kind of, I don't know if you want to say singled out or marked or targeted or whatever, but it appeared that some entities, spiritual and or physical, were not pleased that he had left that movement and had found salvation through Jesus Christ.
Well, there's a movie that I know that this sounds like it's not connected, but it is, with Kiefer Sutherland, where he and some others in the movie, Oliver Platt is in it, not coming up with a name in my brain for some reason, but they essentially...
Flatliners?
Flatliners, thank you. They essentially try to cheat death by going into death and then coming back. Well, they bring something back with them. And mm-hmm. I think a similar event happens sometimes when you get into drugs. And Dave Duncan is very honest in his writings that he did do drugs at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when you do that, you go into, I don't know if it's another dimension or you open a portal or whatever it is, but sometimes you not only invite something in, but you bring it back with you and it sticks. Now, it could be that that's the kind of thing that was going on. It could be that the enemy is just so threatened by the inside information that David had, has, don't know which it is, but even if he's with the Lord, he still has it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was kind enough and open and honest enough to really reveal it. This Noonan also spoke a number of times about how there would be a great war that would be invented, so to speak. And it's the kind of thing that you began with. You know, we are being programmed mm-hmm. to get angry.
Right. And this tracks with what I discussed with Leonard Ulrich in A View from the Bunker last week in talking about the letter that Albert Pike wrote to Giuseppe Mazzini back in 1871 about three future world wars. The third of those world wars would take place between Zionists, those who believe that Israel needs to be that the political movement that places Israel above all else, and Islam.
And I'd even say dominionists.
Well, and dominionists would be part of that Zionist movement because a great many dominionists believe that Israel, the political entity, is right. They confuse the political entity with the spiritual entity, God's chosen people, and base their political actions in this time-space continuum on that conflation. It's really interesting when you look at these things and see how they track and follow and appear aimed at the same end. On the spiritual plane, and this relates to a lot of the reading we've been doing this week into the overlap, intersection.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got the inter-
the juxtaposition.
Yeah, juxtaposition of the New Age movement and evangelical Christianity. And you'll hear some of this during the interview tomorrow night with Jeff Charlotte, the author of The Family. Constance Cumby has been doing some amazing research into this organization, The Family, and its finances, and has discovered that it's being financed by a group that, maybe not coincidentally, is prominently featured in the new Dan Brown novel, The Lost Symbol, the Institute of Noetic Sciences.
Mm-hmm. That should be a major red flag right there.
Right. It's like The Family. Not many people have heard of the Institute of Noetic Sciences, but it's arguably one of the most influential of the New Age organizations out there, sort of an umbrella group that coordinates a lot of the efforts taking place on the New Age side. Founded by Edgar Mitchell and a gentleman named Paul N. Temple. Paul Temple has been tied, you know, again, founder of this organization that professes to research scientific means for, well, I like the way Dr. Future and Tom Bionic put it, scientific means of becoming demonically possessed. What they don't say it that way on their website, but essentially what they're doing is researching scientific means for communicating with other planes of existence. So, and they're trying to open gateways or doorways to other, you know. Well, Temple, well, he founded this organization with Edgar Mitchell, had been involved with The Family, this supposedly evangelical Christian organization, since about 1944. Temple has since amassed a considerable amount of wealth and is using that wealth to finance New Age groups like his Institute of Noetic Sciences, of course, but also he's donated about $1.8 million over the last 10 or 12 years to The Family, this evangelical group. Further, Constance Cumby has found that Doug Coe, who now runs The Family, has been involved in coordinating workshops and seminars in conjunction with New Agers, prominent New Agers like Barbara Marx Hubbard. So not only are we seeing
there's a very sick convergence going on right here. And I think one of the things that disturbs me the most about this, Derek, is that many of the authors that are in Christian bookstores right now,
right,
subscribe to this sort of thinking. They may or may not realize how mm-hmm. new age the stuff that they're writing about is.
Yeah. And it all boils down to this. If the theology behind whatever it is you're reading, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, is putting forth a doctrine of self-actualization, a self mm-hmm. apotheosis, essentially.
Yeah, you're becoming a god.
Yeah. Then
you just don't know it yet.
Then it's Luciferian. It, yes. it is, at its heart, Luciferian. There is no shift, which is a big word that we keep seeing from New Agers and from those who profess mm-hmm. to be evangelicals.
We're seeing church shift, paradigm shift,
right?
Transformation.
Mm-hmm.
There are butterflies all over the place,
yeah.
indicating what's going on. This is really, it's a frightening concept that the New Age community has mm-hmm. foisted upon the church, and the church is swallowing it. Hook, line, and sinker, because it's being dressed up as a new type of mm-hmm. Christianity.
Right.
It's a new way to worship.
Right. It gets rid of those old restrictive ways of looking at God. We're taking God out of the box and, you know, look, anything that teaches that we can create heaven on earth, and this is where the New Age and evangelicals overlap without mm-hmm. realizing it. This is where the followers of Rick Warren need to be very, very mm-hmm. careful and look very closely at what he's doing, especially in his alliances with ecumenical movements like mm-hmm. Tony Blair's Faith Foundation. If we believe that we can actually create a heaven here on earth, and you know, and the most extreme forms of dominionism teach that we need to do that before Jesus can return,
mm-hmm.
which is where, you know, the family is in its political maneuverings, then, again, you're involving yourself with a Luciferian movement. Heaven on earth isn't going to happen until Jesus Christ returns. That is it, in a nutshell. I mean, if that were not the case, then when Jesus said, "The poor you will always have with you," was he just misinformed? Was he wrong? No, it's just that he knew the problem with the human heart, which is sin.
Mm-hmm.
It is self-interest at the expense of all others. That is the core of our being, sadly. That is why there is none righteous, no, not one.
Absolutely.
But that runs counter to the teaching. That is a teaching that is denied by the New Agers and by many in the emerging church movement.
It amazes me how many people who are calling themselves Christian today don't really understand what that term means. It means a little Christ.
Yeah.
Christ is the anointed one. We're talking about Jesus Christ, who not only claimed to be the Son of God, he died for every one of us, for mm-hmm. you, for me, for every one of you out there listening. He is the Son of God. He's the only incarnate Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
He is a part of God. He is the second member of the Trinity, the Godhood, the Godhead. He came down to earth and died, spent his blood so that you and I could have entrance mm-hmm. to the throne of God. So we would not be condemned to forever die, because that's what happened when our ancestors, Adam and Eve, chose to disobey God. And Jesus Christ is himself the living bridge between us and the Lord God Almighty.
Right.
And bridge is another word that right. the New Age movement has stolen, and they're using it as some sort of a little metaphysical rainbow bridge that we build ourselves.
Right.
We can find God, and once we get there, guess what? It's us.
Mm-hmm. That was something I took from the website of Barbara Marx Hubbard, who I had not... Yeah, I'm coming late to the party here. I mean, researchers like Constance Cumby, and like you, have been aware of this for a long, long time.
Oh, I started out reading Cumby a long time ago.
Right.
So thank you.
Yes,
Constance.
I'm coming late to the party here, and I'd not heard of Barbara Marx Hubbard until I started reading Constance Cumby's articles about how the family was hijacking evangelical Christianity and merging it, essentially, with the New Age movement.
Mm-hmm.
But Hubbard essentially says that, yes, that the problem humanity has is that all great spiritual paths, and by all she means Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Zoroaster, whatever, all lead to the same threshold of making this leap of consciousness.
But of course, that's a lie.
But none can guide us across the great divide. These are her words now. From creature human to co-creative human, which, again, co-creative, as in being a co-creator with the creator.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, haven't read enough of Hubbard's work to understand if that's what she means. But the point is that we are at this threshold, in her words now, and need to bridge this gap. Well, Christians know that that gap, that gulf, that divide that separated Lazarus, the sinner in hell, with Abraham, his father, you know, in the parable that Jesus taught, and that the only one who can cross that gulf and span that gulf is Jesus Christ.
The rich man, you mean?
The rich man, right.
Lazarus was the good guy.
I'm sorry, Lazarus was the beggar. Yeah, it was the wealthy man who was reaching, who was begging
right.
for, right.
Okay. The wealthy man is never named.
Right. My bad.
He sees Lazarus, you know, in the bosom of Abraham.
That's right. And says, you know, can you at least have him come down and touch my tongue with some water in order to, you know, relieve my suffering? The point is, as that parable makes clear, is that there is no crossing that gulf except by Jesus Christ through the sacrifice of his shed blood. The New Agers, at least in what I'm reading here by Hubbard, acknowledge that that gulf exists. The difference there is that they believe that through our own actions as humans, we can somehow evolve, we can shift our consciousness, we can bridge that gap mm-hmm. on our own.
This stuff goes way back. It goes back to the 19th century. Helena Blavatsky, mm-hmm. after that, Alice Bailey in the 20th century, many, many other people who were getting together and trying to find ways to explain God without God being there.
Right.
They were trying to explain the scientific world using reason. And this goes back to even the 18th century
mm-hmm.
and probably even before that. It goes back to the garden. But lie. It is. It's a lie.
You shall be as gods.
And this whole notion of the 20th and 21st century idea of the New Age, that does go back to theosophy. And it's an idea that really serves Lucifer's interests
mm-hmm.
because their teaching is that at the end of the age, that's why it's called the New Age,
mm-hmm.
we're flipping over to a brand new, we're resetting the clock.
Dawning of the Age
button,
of Aquarius.
Absolutely. Yeah. That at that point, that the entire human race will move over to mm-hmm. the next evolution in spiritual being, and that everybody at that point will have a Luciferian indoctrination, at which point we all see the light, so mm-hmm. to speak, and we understand that Lucifer is a good guy. He's an angel.
Right.
He's wonderful. He's here to help us move on up to the next level of godhood. That, they believe, is what's going to happen to everybody except
yeah.
you
backwards
and me.
Christians, yeah.
Backwards Christians, because we're going to hold them back. And they are taught that you and I and anyone who calls the name of Jesus Christ and means it, that we're going to be taken out of the way
mm-hmm.
by the ascended masters because we're just holding everybody back.
So that's how they're going to explain the rapture, huh?
Amen.
Well, I'll get more into that with Jeff Charlotte and his history and exploration of the family and this evangelical Christian side. But I also plan to kind of tag on to that interview, which goes a little over 30 minutes, some of Constance Cumby's research into the New Age connections of these prominent evangelicals.
You know what? If you're just now hearing about Constance Cumby, she's got a blog
mm-hmm.
that we'll link to in the show notes that Derek will link to. Rather, and she also offers for free
mm-hmm.
her book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, that you can download and read in a PDF. All she
right.
asks is that you don't try to rewrite it.
Yeah, or publish it and sell it. Yeah,
exactly.
She published it originally in 1982. It's considered one of the seminal works
mm-hmm.
In awakening thinking Christians to
yes.
the dangers of the New Age movement, because at the time, it really wasn't well known. There weren't many people out there who were even aware of it, much less talking about it. And so she deserves credit for that. I've sent a couple of emails to her. I would love to talk with her directly about this, because she's not afraid to name names among the evangelical movement, people who actually have opposed her work because she, and I think we're on the same page with her here, believes that you can't make a deal with the devil. And it's well known that there are evangelicals like Well, Jerry Falwell, who accepted money from the Reverend Sung Myung Moon for Liberty University.
I'm sorry, but Jerry, I love you, but how could you have explained that?
You can't. The kingdom of the Lord doesn't need a single dime from God's enemies to do his work. So you can't rationalize that away. And so she's made some enemies among evangelical Christianity for that reason. So anyway, we'll talk more about that tomorrow night, because I consider this to be more dangerous than the work of the so-called new atheists like Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris, Daniel Dennett, and Christopher Hitchens, because their logic is just flat sloppy. It's just not very good.
Well, for instance, the logic in that or Kirk Cameron, who has just come out with a co-publishing version of the Evolution of the Species.
Right. The Charles Darwin's work. Yes. Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron are producing what they're calling an anniversary edition of On the Origin of Species, except that they're tacking a 50-page introduction onto the work that Ray Comfort has written, which essentially lays out the Christian case against Darwin's theory of evolution.
They've not changed the content.
No.
They've just written a 50-page introduction.
Right. And they plan to distribute 50,000 copies on college campuses around the United States in November. There are atheists out there now who are actually suggesting that they should try to collect up all the copies of this book. Since they're being given out for free, just go out and collect them all up, rip out the 50-page introduction, and then turn around and donate the books to Goodwill or middle schools or whatever. The irony is delicious.
Palpable.
Yes, because Christians have been accused of being the closed-minded, book-burning bigots, and yet here we've got the free thinkers who are essentially proposing a new form of book burning to protect the impressionable young minds of our college students.
You know, Lord love you. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, we can't force you to do that. And you know what? You're probably a great person. It's, you know, just how God sees you. And that's really what ultimately matters in life.
Right.
But if you don't believe that we're right, why do you care?
If
you believe there's really no God, then why do you care what we think?
Yeah, exactly. And the irony really is that what this amounts to is a declaration by certain of the new atheists. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of them out there who just think this is just all a tempest in a teapot. But those who are proposing actually tearing out the introduction by Ray Comfort and redistributing the book have essentially said that what Comfort and Cameron have done is whatever passes for sacrilege among atheists. They have somehow desecrated the work of the Holy Darwin. They've not changed Darwin's words or modified his thesis. They're simply publishing his work and adding a foreword that says, here's why we think he's wrong. But there are some who believe. Anyway, those who openly and vocally oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're easy to spot. The true danger is from those who are within.
Exactly. The wolves in sheep's clothing.
Right. Now, the family, getting back to them for just a moment, founded the National Prayer Breakfast. Most evangelicals probably think the National Prayer Breakfast is a great thing. Our president should be there. In fact, Barack Obama, you know, has been criticized for not being public enough about his, you know, religious faith, whatever it is. But these guys are using it as a means to facilitate political power. So is that what Christ commanded us to do?
No.
How do we? But the problem is that a lot of Christians, well-meaning Christians, would still argue that this is a good thing because we can influence society as a whole and advance the kingdom of Christ through what? Through electing the right candidates who will somehow see to it that the right justices with the right theology sit on the Supreme Court. Jesus never advocated that when he was here walking among us.
Right. Now, that's not to say that there's anything wrong with meeting for breakfast and praying.
No.
But I don't think that that's really why they get together. I think it's more of a, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, hey, we're all here and I look good because I'm here and I'm going to get more votes.
Right. And this foreign leader whose government donated so much to the organization that coordinated the prayer breakfast just happened to make sure that this foreign head of state was seated close to the president so he could get some face time with mm-hmm. the president of the United States. Is that what Jesus Christ commanded us to do?
Let's not forget that the governments, yes, they are set up by the Lord God Almighty. Mm-hmm. I read an article today talking about how disparaging the fact that Obama was appointed by God. That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Paul absolutely says that our leaders are appointed by God.
Right.
But they are not necessarily there doing God's will, in that God is not necessarily pleased by what they do. Sometimes we get the leaders we deserve, yeah. because ultimately the world is run by fallen angels. Mm-hmm. And it could very well be that Obama was put into place by God to bankrupt the United States.
Right.
Not only financially, but spiritually.
This goes back to the Tower of Babel incident, where we learn in Deuteronomy 32:8, where Moses, recounting the history of the Hebrews, said that God numbered the nations according to the number of the sons of God. Mm-hmm. There were 70 nations, 70 sons of God, and this is corroborated by the cosmology of other nations in the ancient Near East. They have a slightly different take on why it happened, but you know, essentially that goes all the way back to the divine council research of Mike Heiser and his associates. Essentially, God telling mankind, look, you rejected me at the garden, we got past that, but now you're building this Tower of Babel, mm-hmm. which God, for whatever reason, I mean, we can speculate as to what the nature of the tower was, but for whatever reason, God found it so offensive that he personally intervened, which we don't see very often mm-hmm. in the Bible. And after that said, okay, you people are now under the control of these 70 B'nai Elohim, except for the people that I will call out, and that was Abraham and his sons. Those are his chosen people, the 71st nation, if you will. We see corroboration of this in the New Testament, where Satan in the desert tells Jesus, bow the knee to me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, because they're mine, they've been given to me, and I give them to who I will. Jesus didn't rebuke him for overstepping his authority. He just said, no, that's... You know, you should, and forgive me, I forget Jesus' response. Was it, you shall not tempt the Lord your God? Or
mm-hmm. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy
okay.
God.
Okay. But again, it's interesting that his response was not, you don't have the right to offer these kingdoms to me. That's not what he said. It's because the world, as Jesus said, you know, is...
He quoted Scripture. Each time his response
was Scripture.
To quote Scripture.
Yeah.
And that's, I really think that's one of the things that... I know I'm missing in my own life. This is something I used to do more of. Not only should I read the Scripture every day, but I need to memorize more Scripture.
I know, over the
last few weeks, we've been talking about reading a book a week, and thank you so much. Those of you who have sent me emails, and we've even got a Skype phone call we're going to play later, someone who's doing that very thing, mm-hmm. and I encourage you to also take it literally. Read a book of the Bible each week. Memorize some Scripture. Sit down and memorize Psalms. There are many short ones in there that you can memorize, and you'd be amazed how years from now, if we're all still here, you will find yourself remembering those things, because when you store these in your heart, the Holy Spirit will bring them to mind in a moment when you need it. And those memorized scriptures there's just no way to replace it. You just simply have to do it. It's like when Nicole was in grade school mm-hmm. and I kept saying, you've got to memorize those multiplication tables.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be so glad later on in algebra that you did. And, of course, she was. And it's the same way with Scripture. You got to get in there and really memorize it.
Well, and ultimately, you know, getting back to this intersection of the spiritual and the physical, I mean, that's what this show is all about and why we feel compelled to do it. Mm-hmm. Because this is, you know, we're on the battlefield, whether we recognize it or not, whether we perceive it or not. Mm-hmm. We're in the middle of a spiritual war that's been fought since the beginning of human history, at least, if not earlier.
And we're getting down to the final battles. The closer we get to the return of Jesus Christ, the thinner the veil between mm-hmm. the physical and the spiritual, and the more influence the spiritual has on the physical.
Right.
And it is not, for the most part, a positive influence.
Well, that's why God warned us in the Old Testament to have nothing to do with soothsayers and mediums and those who practice magic and the occult, because... God knew and warned us for our own good that messing about with the supernatural was dangerous, because most of the entities, apparently, that are, well, I shouldn't say most of the entities, it's because we as humans don't have the capacity to discern between which entities are good for us or bad for us, except insofar as the instructions we were given by Paul and John. You know, John who said, test the spirits because not all come from God. And Paul who said that if anyone, whether me or an angel of light, should preach a different gospel, let them be anathema. Let them be eternally cursed.
Amen.
That is our guide for dealing with the supernatural. If the message you're hearing from this angel of light is contradictory to Scripture, if it's, you know, the word that you're hearing, this, or if this manifestation of Mary is telling you something different than what you read between the covers of the Bible, it's not sent by God.
No.
It's coming from the enemy.
Amen.
And
Amen.
That is what it boils down to. So, well, we're at about 45 minutes in.
Oh, are
and
we?
So, yeah.
I don't have a timer in front of me. Thank you for telling
sorry,
me.
Sorry, 50 minutes in. Sorry. So we're...
Well, there are a couple announcements I want to make before we close out for the show.
Get to
the
phone calls, yeah.
One of the, yeah, and get to the, we want to play a phone call. Bruce Collins Show premieres on WSMN Radio, 1590 AM at 10 AM on October the 10th. You don't want to miss that. You want to go to WSMNradio.com. Mm-hmm. You could have said that so much better, you with your radio voice.
1510 WSMN.
I knew it. So you want to make sure you tune in for the Bruce Collins Show starting on October 10th. Also, Guy Malone, our favorite guy, was recently a speaker at the Angel Fire Paranormal Conference in Angel Fire, New Mexico. Boy, my mouth. I can't even get my words to come in. Number one guy. He has released on his website, alienstranger.com, a text transcript of the presentation that he made while he was there. He was speaking to non-Christians for the most part. Mm-hmm. And he was so excited to be invited there. And I know the Holy Spirit really worked through him during that presentation. And there will be a DVD available soon, Guy tells us. But in the meantime, if you can't wait and you just want to see what he, be able to read what he said, you can go to alienstranger.com and we'll have that link in the show notes as
okay.
well.
He is... a brave guy, just like our friend Dr. Future, who went and spoke to that United Nations-affiliated ecumenical group last year. And I'm going to get Dr. Future on the show here in a couple of weeks. We're going to talk about that and about why he saw fit to put our faces on the side of the Future van.
And why Sam's not on there.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, he had... Pyro, the Wonder Dog, on the side of the van, so that probably worked out too well.
I know.
Dan Brown's new book, we mentioned that. That has been released this week. The Lost Symbol is the name of the book. And Freemasons. I'm doing some reading about Freemasonry over the past week, too. And a lot of them were apprehensive about the book because they were afraid, apparently, or concerned that it would portray Freemasonry in the same light that the Brown painted the Catholic, Roman Catholic Church in his previous two books, Da Vinci Code, Angels and Demons. Actually, Freemasonry comes out pretty well in this book, according to Chris Hodapp, who's the guy who wrote Freemasons for Dummies. Interviewed him a couple of years ago in Columbia. But, as we mentioned, the group to watch in The Lost Symbol, and we'll be reading this and reviewing it at Watcher Magazine in the near future, is the Institute of Noetic Sciences, because the character who plays... the lead character's love interest, Dr. Robert Langdon's love interest in this book, is a noetic scientist. In other words, one who's researching how to scientifically become demonically possessed. And apparently that plays an important role in the book. One of our listeners has sent us an early review. He's partway into the book. Said there's a lot of fascinating stuff in there about the geometry of the architecture of Washington, D.C., which... at the very least, was inspired by the Freemasons, if nothing else. I mean, you look at some of the stuff that
Chris Horn
Pinto and
is,
Tom Horn have researched.
Yeah.
But having not read the book yet, we will reserve any future comment other than it appears interesting that Brown really made the Roman Catholic Church and Christianity as a whole look really bad in his last two books. And then in this book is apparently portraying Freemasonry in a pretty positive light.
We want to make sure, by the way, speaking of Tom Horn, that you read the antithesis of the, Dan Brown book, and that is Tom Horn's book that's going to be released very soon, Apollyon Rising.
Yeah.
He's written excerpts of that at a blog that he links to, and we always have links to that at PID Radio sorry, PID Peering News, which is peeringintodarkness.com. We're eventually going to change that over to PIDnews.com. But for now, peeringintodarkness.com.
So you can find all those articles there linked at...
Yeah, he's written many, many installments of that. And essentially, he's giving you a peek at the book. So be sure you read those things. And when the book comes out, support Tom's efforts by buying that. Because you know what? He's put in a lot of time and research. And it's an extraordinary book. I've had the privilege to read it. And I'd read it again and again and again if I were you.
Yeah. That's the book of Rika I've been reading for the last 3 weeks. So I'm working on it.
Well, before we go, we want to play, if we have time, do we?
We do, yes.
One, we had a couple of people who said they really didn't want to hear their voices on the radio, mm-hmm. and I totally understand what you mean by that. Conrad in Virginia, bless your heart for calling us in. You had a guest idea, and that was Stan and Leslie Johnson from the Prophecy Club.
Make
a note
of that.
And we promise we will check in on that. Mm-hmm. Also, Melissa from Nashville, that you said thank you for doing what you're doing every night, and you suggested, you said you miss the nightly shows, and Sam says he does too. Every night about 7 o'clock, he wants to come in and do a show. He's so funny.
Yeah.
But you suggested Chris White of the Harvest Project. And you said we could check that out at dvdtract.com, mm-hmm. and we definitely will, Melissa, so
I'll also point out that Chris White is the host of the Nowhere to Run podcast.
Yes, at Revelations Radio Network.
Yeah, co-host of the Frank and Chris show with Frank Lordy.
Yes, that's right. Network, well, so. I knew I had heard the name
right.
when she called in and recommended
yeah.
it. And we had one other caller that we want to go ahead and play, if that's okay with mm-hmm. you, Derek.
Hello, this is Jared Harlan, and yes, you can use this message. I'm from Longview, Washington. Dear Derek and Sharon Gilbert, PID Radio, your peering into the darkness has brought renewed, vibrant hope and everlasting light into our family. We have diligently followed Sharon's Book a Week program. We have read Ben Carson's Healing Hands, C.S. Lewis's Surprised by Joy and The Problem of Pain, Jim Stovall's The King's Legacy. The end times are without a doubt eminently awaiting the rapture of the saints and the appearance of the White Rider, the Antichrist. Thank you so much, Derek and Sharon, for your dedication to truth and obedience to God's will. Keep up the good work and fighting the good fight. And as John Arthur from FirstAmendmentRadio.com would say, keep your powder dry. All praise and glory to God the Father, in whom we find grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. Thank you so much.
Jared, thank you very much. We deeply appreciate your
What an amazing
call.
Man. What
and,
an
and
amazing
also
man.
His support.
I mean, he just Jared, sounds like.
Yeah.
Do you live close by, Jared? Come on over. We'll just put a roast in the oven right now, and I'll make some nachos really fast. Come on over because, Lord love you, you sound like just the kind of people we would love to get to know better. And the great thing is, we are going to get to know you better.
There will
because
be
one
day.
Of these days, we will all get together.
Yeah. And so, Jared, thank you very much for your support, both in the form of prayer and also in the very generous gifts, the very kind gifts that you've sent our way. We deeply, deeply appreciate those. So thank you very much. And again, it's helping to ensure that as the funding for the online hosting is being debited directly from mm-hmm. the PayPal account, that regardless of what happens, the archives and so forth will be here for quite a while.
So long as the internet is still available, that stuff is still going to be available.
So again, Jared, thank you very much for your support. We truly, truly appreciate it. You can call us if you've got a call that you would like to, with something you'd like to pass on to
it. Guest suggestion maybe not limericks.
Yeah.
Jokes are good.
But yeah, limericks, we'll draw the line there. The number is 317, and of course that's country code 1 if you're outside the United States. Country code 1, and then 317-489-9350. That's 1-317-489-9350. It goes direct to voicemail, and you can leave your message there. Let us know where you're calling from and whether you want us to use your... just let us know if you prefer that we not use your voice on the show.
We love hearing from you. We have the best time listening to these.
Also, hey, I want to pass along something we've been maybe not promoting enough, but there is another young fellow who is affiliated with PID Radio now, and you can find the link at the top of... There's a little navigation bar at the top of PIDradio.com where it says PID Radio Lineup, and you'll see the very first link there is the Bible Podcast with Tony Walker. Now, interviewed
Preacher Tony.
Interviewed Preacher Tony some weeks ago. It was, in fact, one of the first View from the Bunker interviews. But he's a young fella down in South Carolina who does a weekly 15-minute broadcast on a radio station there, which is also then recorded and then posted to the internet as his podcast. And it's, you know, just good old Bible expositional preaching, the kind of which you don't hear enough of in far too many Christian churches today. And so highly recommend it. Follow that link, and there's a little player right there on the page that I put up so you can just click the button and listen to Preacher Tony, and a link to his website where you can go there and subscribe and see the pictures of Tony and his lovely bride and the mission trips they've taken and other things like that. So just wanted to talk up Preacher Tony and the work he's doing. Graduated from Bible college this year and has been faithfully going out there and just doing his best to preach the gospel as it's written from God's word. So we just appreciate his work.
Well, Sam has left the room, so we must be done.
We've hit our time limit. Again, email at radio@peeringinthedarkness.com. Got that up and working, too, with the move to the new server this weekend.
We did. We even figured out how to set it up. Yay! Also, you can join us at Facebook and Twitter and follow us there, and you can comment there and see what we're up to. I'm walking this week. I've been walking now for, about 10 days and loving it. So if you want to join me in a walk every day, post that you've done so. And we're trying to listen to podcasts, and I'm even going to probably listen to Good Word of the Lord, a little scripture as I'm walking.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. And that I substituted mowing the lawn for walking today. Does that count?
It does.
Oh, good, good. Well, tomorrow night, Jeff Charlotte and some information from Constance Cumby on the evangelical movement behind the scenes in Washington, D.C. and what they're really all about. And look forward to that. Until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Gonna step up to the microphone. Say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here. Don't let the hard times get you down. Older days will disappear. There's a new day coming. A new former days and living in the past. God can do a new thing now in a kingdom that will last. He'll make a way across your wilderness like a river flows in desert land. There's a new day coming. A new day coming.
edge news and analysis on demand.
This is PID Radio.